put them on and go watch Netflix.
Trust me, dressing these things up may be easier said than done. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News. And by the way, not in sweatpants. I'm Renee Montagne.
Also not sweatpants. I'm Stephen Skip.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 556.5, down 8.75. July, 550.25, down 9.5. Soft May wheat, 518.75, down 7.25. July, 517.5, down 7.5. May corn, 378.25, now 8 even, now 8.25, now 8 even, and it's down 5. July, 386, down 5. Remember, these are live quotes. September, 394, down 4.75. December, 403.75, down 4, now 4.25. May soybeans, 968.75, now a half, down 2.5. July, 973.5, down 2.75. November, 959, down 4.25. May soybean meal, 319, down 70. May soybean oil, 3083, down 20. April live cattle, 162.35, down 65. April feeder cattle, 217.42.5, down 25 cents. And April lean hogs is 62.62.5, and it's up 5 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
So I got out my dictionary this morning, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up the word listless.
Okay. And you saw the grain markets?
Yeah,
there,
it would have said, no, it was even better than that. It said soft grain market from April 8th, 2015.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Listless is a pretty doggone good word when you look at the range. You know, we had like a huge amount of corn traded overnight last night, 70,000 contracts with a 2.5 cent range.
Wow.
Can you imagine? I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? And so this scares me a little bit because it reminds me of shades of like the late 90s, you know, when we had really tight ranges and you saw quite a bit of trading going on, but, you know, the range just never changed very much. When you look at the basis, we did see corn basis get a little bit better in the U.S., but of course, it can get better if the market is moving lower. There's no question about that, and it comes back to making sure that you're watching basis and futures at the same time, because it doesn't pay to get attached to a futures price if your basis is getting worse, or get attached to a basis if your futures are getting worse. And so it still comes down to where cash is, but you can tell farmers still aren't selling, though, you know, because basis has improved.
Yeah, it looks like the basis a little bit mixed, maybe. The Ohio River maybe a little bit to the positive side, while our Illinois River may be a little bit negative. And you can see that in the spreads, I think.
Oh, yes, very much so. And, I mean, Central's, Decatur's a nickel under, which we haven't seen for a while, you know, and Central Illinois is two over. So it just depends upon, like anywhere else, where you're located is the name of the game. And, you know, whether you have an active, like up in the Kankakee area, where you really have an active export market, you know, and a lot of containers going out versus, you know, going out on barge or whatever it might be. But the reality is we move closer and closer each day to all the corn that's stored on farm having to come out someplace. And so it'll be interesting to see if guys hold, you know, all the way through this, this next spring section. Normally in here, you know, we see some pretty decent prices at times, weather-wise. And we certainly had a nice rainstorm overnight again last night, and I guess we have more rain coming. But there's just so many things happening. I was looking at China today, and they're saying that domestic corn prices in China are 30% above the world at this point in time because the reserves, you know, and you and I have talked about that mm-hmm. before, where, you know, where they buy corn from their farmers to keep them out on the farm. They've got reserve purchases of 77 million metric tons of corn, and so that's keeping their price so very high. So they're expecting corn and barley and barley, sorghum, and DDGs mm-hmm. to really increase again. You know, barley may be up 40% from an import standpoint, sorghum to possibly double. But at the same time, that could take away about 20 million metric tons of corn. And so you don't know which way the sword is going to swing.
So we're in a range-bound trade, essentially, in the corn market.
Yep.
With the December $4.16, old crop maybe $3.80-$3.85 to
yep.
$4.
Yep.
How at what point could weather potentially become a factor moving the market out of that range?
Well, I think with the, you know, the technology we have today and the ability to plant day and night, it's going to be a little more difficult than it was years ago. I think that another 2 weeks or so of, you know, heavy rains in the main part of the belt would certainly do it. I would believe, you know, because it would take quite a bit of time to rain, you know, to dry it out. We do know when you look at the South, you know, the South dried out just a little bit, and man, they hammered a whole lot of stuff into the ground in a very short amount of time. So I don't think the trade will ever discount that. Concerning with the avian flu, mm-hmm. you know, showing up again in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's a dog around corn's neck. There's no question about it. And the fact that when you look at the, you know, the Aussie wheat, weather looks pretty darn good unless El Nino does show up. But for right now, it's looking really good. And so that's, you know, that's another thing that's dragging on the wheat market in addition to the dollar being at the 98. I mean, the dollar doesn't look like it has totally given up yet at this stage. So we'll see what the Fed has to say today. That's going to be interesting. And, you know, the EIA is going to be out with their oil inventories. They think that this is going to be the 12th straight week in a row we're going to go higher. They said Saudi is actually producing oil at a new record of 10.3 million barrels per day, the highest record since they began keeping tabs on it since the early 80s. So the Saudis certainly haven't dialed down the spigot, mm-hmm. and so it'll, you know, if this whole Iran thing goes through, that could put another 500,000 to a million barrels a day on the marketplace. So you wonder where, you know, where is the bright spot in the oil industry at this stage anyway.
All right, then, let's turn our attention to the soybean market for a minute or two, where dollar is strengthening, but the Argentina peso is weakening, so I would suspect basis in Argentina is improved, and are they following through with selling more?
Well, you're starting to hear some of that, you know, and the thing we do know, of course, is that any time that the basis gets better down there and the peso gets weaker, it encourages more planting, too. But they're saying this dry forecast for the next couple of weeks almost ensures the record crop that they believe that they're going to harvest down there. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're starting to move some. And yet when you look at the Brazilian and the Argentinian numbers, they're still below where they've been in the last number of years as far as the pace at which they're selling. But I expect that that's going to pick up as we move forward here. But, you know, the bean market just never ceases to surprise a person as to how much strength it actually has when you look at the wall of beans that there is in the world. And so I think that, you know, when we come into the report tomorrow, that'll be one of the big questions mm-hmm. is, you know, what is the world, what's the world number really going to look like? And is it going to stay the same? Is it going to go higher? I guess my bias would have to be it's probably going to go a little bit higher because Brazil has improved also, but, you know, you just don't know. You know, the average trade guess is for it to stay the same as it was in March, so let's hope that we don't get too big a surprise.
And before we let you go, a word about meal. I've always thought that meal is really the driver of the soybean complex. Right now, it appears to be the weakest link.
Well, it was a driver for a long, long time. You know, meal imports basically were huge, and, you know, exports were huge. It did drive the market. Right at the moment, it's more like the albatross around the neck. I think that what happens anytime you see a product and this is from my years of doing nutrition, if a product starts to price itself out of the range, there are alternative products. They never work necessarily as well, but if they can get close to as well, people are going to take those. And I think that's what's happened on the meal side of things. We just haven't seen, and we've also seen some other things. You know, meal was somewhat inflated because the whole melamine thing over there in China was holding everything down. So,
all right, we'll have to leave it there.
Take care, Dave.
Thank you, Jackie. Bye. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She's in Champaign, Illinois. Make corn, 378 and a quarter, down 4 3/4. July, 386, down 5. December, 403 and a quarter, down 4 1/2. May beans, 969 and a half, down 1 1/2. July, 974 and a quarter, down 2. November, 959 and a quarter, down 4. May soybean meal, 319.40, down 30. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.